I have a friend in Tellstone. He's now a mechutna Rabbi Samber. We went to grade school together back in Muncie until he moved to Eretz Yisrael after seventh grade. And we reconnected again a couple years after I got married, after he got married. We both ended up living in Tellstone. And he had a connection with Rav Usher Zalig Rubinstein, Zatzal. He was the Mashgiach of Mishkan HaTorah, and then after that he was the Rosh Yeshiva, founding Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Simcha. I remember being in his living room one Thursday night where he said that Shmuel Arbach Zatzal had just called him up this week and told him that he wants him to start a new yeshiva for American Bacharim. In any case, he had this connection with Rav Usher Rubinstein. And Rav Usher Rubinstein used to give a shiur in his living room, Leil Shishi, on Thursday night, about 11:30 at night. And my friend, who had an old jalopy, some car that practically, didn't make it to Yerushalayim, happy when you got to Yerushalayim alive, he decided that he wanted to start going to this shiur. And he asked me to come with him. All right, back in those days, coming to Yerushalayim in an old jalopy on Thursday night was quite an adventure. And so I started going with him. After the shiur, which was over like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, so we went to the first Haredi supermarket in Yerushalayim called Degel HaTorah. It was really, really cheap, not just the prices. I mean, the place was dilapidated. But it was a zoo, but it was our zoo. And that was an experience itself. But the shiur was a very, very interesting shiur, not just for what he said, but for the whole avira. A lot of people used to tape it. There were older people there who would tape it. He had a special machine over there that at the end of the shiur, you could get a copy of the tape in like 5 or 10 minutes. It was like a new modern machine. And the house was just, he grew up in the Five Towns. But the house was pashut shiva pashut. I still remember the way that it smelled in the house. The way that everything was designed over there. It was just a pashut environment. And I remember one other thing. The other thing which struck me was the way that he referred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He referred to Hashem. He didn't say Hashem. He didn't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No one, his own unique way, he called him the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know what's struggling? The Kadosh Baruch Hu. I was thinking about it this week. Why did he call him the Kadosh Baruch Hu? What's the? So thinking about it, that there is something unique, there is something special in that the. When we say something is the, so it's sort of saying that you don't need an explanation. The thing talks for itself. And there are very few things in the world that talk for themselves that you don't need any explanation. But when you have those things and you try to give an explanation, not only don't you do it justice, but you actually cheapen it. And there's a Ramban in this week's Parsha, talks about the Urim V'Tumim, that really very much makes this point. This week is Parshas Tetzaveh. Parshas Tetzaveh, we talk about not the Kalim of the Mishkan, but we talk about the Big Day Kahuna. Big Day Kahuna is a Musar Haskel in and of itself. Yasisa Big Day Kodesh Liara Nachicha L'Chavedu L'Tfaris. The uniform of the Kayin Gadol, the uniform of the Kayin, is supposed to be L'Chavedu L'Sifaris. In the Western world, so we say often that the clothes make the man. In the dinim of kahuna, in a certain way, is true. The Kayin Gadol doesn't have a shame Kayin Gadol. He doesn't have a din Kayin Gadol. Unless he's wearing these special begadim. Otherwise it doesn't work. But it's more than that. The fact that the Kohen Gadol has to dress up in this way tells us that Avoda is not just something which is supposed to be drudgery. Avoda is glorious. Avoda is a pe'er. It's something that we look up to. And that's what we learn in the Parsha. And we go through the different begadim, and one of the begadim is the chayshen, and in the chayshen you have the urim v'tumim. The Torah says, "V'nosata la'chayshen," you put into the chayshen a mishpat es ha'urim v'es ha'tumim, the urim and the tumim. V'hayu alev aron b'vayel lufnei Hashem. Zok the Ramban. The big machlokes between the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra, what the urim v'tumim were. Says the Ramban, Savar Rabbi Avraham lehischakem beinyan urim v'tumim. The Ibn Ezra wants to get fancy. He wants to tell you all kind of chachmas about what the urim v'tumim were. V'omar, and he says, kihem maisa uman, that there's some kind of craftsmanship. Kesef, zav, there was silver and there was gold. V'herech binyanam, he goes and he's mairich in the whole inyan. They correlate to different astrological signs, and there was a whole system as to how they made the Urim V'tumim and how it worked and how they were crafted. Says the Ramban says that it's not true. Avohim Kedivrei Rashi. The Urim V'tumim was no craft of gold and silver, there was no tsuris, there was nothing. It was just a simple plate that said Kodesh LaHashem. And he brings three riots. Number one, the Torah doesn't bring it when it brings a tzivui of making the different kalim, the different begadim. Number two is that there's no chachma attributed to it whatsoever in the psukim. And number three, and this is where we get to our topic that we had before, so there's a very strange letter over here when you're talking about the Urim V'Tumim. It doesn't say V'nasata es el chayshen mishpat es Urim V'Tumim. It says Ha'urim V'Hatumim. V'Hei Hayidia. The Hei Hayidia of the Urim V'Tumim is Mashma, says the Ramban Pashtus. It's talking about a site that was given over to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Urim V'Tumim is representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was Hashem inside of the Chayshin. The Das of Hashem is going to be given over through these Urim V'Tumim. And it bears no explanation. And you can't give one. It's HaUrim V'Hatumim. Like the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes you don't explain. Sometimes you can't explain. When you explain too much, so you belabor the point and you cheapen it. And that's why you say the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it's Ha'urim V'Hatumim. An interesting experience this week. Came home on Tuesday night and saw a couple of big signs. It was the same sign a couple places. You know, nowadays, if you want people to give tzedakah, so back in the day, you came to him and you said, you know, we're collecting for tzedakah, and you know, there was no advertising campaign, you know, but a Jewish heart knows when it's supposed to give. And nowadays, you can't do that anymore. You've got to, you know, make a whole drama, or if you don't want to make a whole drama, so then at least you have to have some campaign where, you know, a group of Talmidei Chachamim are going to go to the moon, and they'll put the name of you and all of your relatives into some crater or something. And, you know, with all of that, you're going to have zechusim so that, you know, your children will get married. And you're going to have, you know, sgulis for arichas yamim and everything like that. Right? Okay, fine. So this one just absolutely topped it off. Take a look at the sign. And the sign says that if you give money to so-and-so tzedakah, so the Kabbalistic Gaon and Tzaddik, you know, it tells the name of the individual, will go and pray for you at the time of the hawk, at the hawk prayer. And I'm like thinking, the time of the hawk and the hawk prayer, I mean, this sounds like really paganistic over here, you know? It was like Avodah Zarah mamish, you know? Somebody told me that there were actually hawks in Lakewood at some point. They would, like, swoop down and, like, eat cats or eat mice, a chvesnish, you know? But you have these predatory birds, and I'm, like, having this vision of, like, this, you know, the Kabbalistic Gaon and Tzaddik with, like, a shechita knife or something, you know, slaughtering these not kosher, you know, hawk birds or whatever. I don't know what in the world is going on over here. Until I chopped that some idiot who made the sign just got on Google Translate, and the translation of the word hawk is nates or hanates. So the hawk prayer is, you know, shachris at hanates achama, and at the time of the hawk is also at hanates achama. That's what it means. But apparently he was so sure of himself that he didn't bother giving the sign to anybody to check out over afterwards. So people who really do speak English, like me or you, get this sign that sounds like it's paganism, mamish, and, you know, whatever, you know, give tzedakah so that somebody can daven for you at the time of the hawk, at the hawk prayer. Okay. What do we learn from that incident? Number one, don't use Google Translate. Number two, if you do use Google Translate, at least have the hachna to show it over to somebody who speaks English. But I took a third message. And the third message is that sometimes it's kedai to just stick to the point. If you're trying to aggrandize something too much by making it into, okay, fine, in order to make you give tzedakah, so we have to have this gain and tzaddik and this mekubal, he's going to pray for you at hanetz achama at this time, at you know, whatever, you're setting yourself up for trouble. Why? Because you're going away from the point. The more you involve other things that really don't make a difference, the more likely you are to make a mistake. And that's the way that it always is. When you're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're talking about the Urim V'Tumim, you're talking about Limud HaTorah, you're talking about things which are simple, you don't need to get other things involved. It's the hey, with the hey hayidia. And if you focus on it, so you'll be very matzliach. The more you try to get other things involved, the more you try to make it more complex and more complicated, the more likely you are to make a mistake and the more likely you are to miss the point of what you're really trying to do. Elu dvarim shetzrichim chizuk. You always need chizuk for Torah. You always need chizuk for tefillah. And especially when you hear the name Adar, so you certainly need chizuk for Torah and you need chizuk for tefillah. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, we got ourselves into a sugya of mashkin. I think that so far it's going good. I hope that everybody, you know, is going to hold stark. But in general, you know, you start to feel at this time of year, you know, okay, fine, you know, people are trying to push it, you know. Let's try to keep enthusiastic. So I chopped yesterday that in yeshiva we came up with a great patent. You know, not a hawk tefillah or, you know, the time of the hawk or whatever. But in yeshiva, over the last couple of months, we've come up with a great patent as to how to keep people very, very enthusiastic. It really hit me over the head yesterday when I saw the latest sign go up. You know, there used to be a term called getting mowed, right? This year I decided that we're going to come up with a new term. It's going to be called getting mooed. Why? Because we've polished off more cows in this base medrash over the past winter's man than any other year in Tomo history. More chullin', more beef, more brisket, more meat, more animals, more dead cattle than in any other time in Tomo history. Yeah, I remember that. After Zoom's man, they needed to get guys, you know, out of their houses, right? So we opened up this thing called Camp Tomo. Camp Tomo was written about in the Mishpacha magazine, and we're boasting about the fact that, you know, like Mary had a little lamb, right? Okay, well, Mary's little lamb is no longer with us because in Camp Tomo they shechted it and they draped it over the swing set for about 2 days afterwards, you know, whatever it is. Okay, so when we had the Shabbaton and we're talking about how do you develop Avos Torah as a kinah and taiva and kavod. I'll be honest with you, I was looking for what are we going to say about taiva, but now I found the answer. You know, you want to get guys into Avos Torah, so give guys meat, give guys cholent. Basar taiva. That's what the Gemara. That's what the Chumash calls it. It struck me over the head yesterday because, you know, okay, we got to raise money for the Purim Kol. And Purim Kol, you know, what's in the Purim Kol? More food. More sushi and more meat and more chont and more arroz. So how do you get guys to raise money so that they can eat meat? Give them more meat, right? Brisket. Okay, good. Brisket sandwich. Brisket baguette. $300 for a brisket baguette. It's not such a good deal, guys. Come on. You're smarter than that. You can buy yourselves four of them. Just, you know. But I'm just kidding around. But the point of the matter is that people should realize, okay, mitach shalei lishma balishma. It's a good idea. You got to get yourself to do it. But on the other hand, there are certain things that just speak for themselves. Limud HaTorah is something which speaks for itself. To pull it down is to cheapen it. And if we really need it, then that's great. That's fine. But everybody's got to be careful. When I saw the sign yesterday, I was like, okay, come on, guys, let's go. A little self-respect, right? Okay, we got to give the guys a brisket sandwich. A little self-respect. A little self-respect. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm an old-timer. But you heard it here first. From now on, it's no longer getting mowed. It's getting mooed. Getting mooed. The more cows we can put away, the more terror there's going to be in the Beis Medrash. But everybody should keep on learning until the end of this month. And the main thing is to go out and get mashkin. And the main thing is to keep your eye on the ball. Some things have to be with the Hey Hayadiyah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Urim V'Tumim. If we try to make it too fancy, so then we risk missing the point. Let's not miss the point. The point of the yeshiva is in the Beis Medrash. Everything, you know, the shopping mall that's out here in the, you know, in the hallways and everything, where we sell everything from sushi to candy to jelly beans to meat, to chon, to brisket, to whatever else you want, all right, you know. It's all nice window trimmings. But the Hey Hayadiyah is in the big room over there. Bez Hashem, let's keep on trucking until the end of the Zman, and hopefully by the time we get there, everyone will have mashkin cold with a Hey Hayadiyah. Have a good Shabbos.